Strange. One day in my class, she just lets you down and just watches Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. Well, that would. All right. So today I want to get started with some more leadership styles because, again, I want to give you the ability and background to understand what some of these styles are, what it looks like. Because, again, as a leader, you're going to pull from a variety of these styles. You're not going to just be one style. Just like every day, you don't wear the same clothes every day because, first of all, that would be terrible. That would be awful. I mean, I already have a diffuser going in the room, but I'd rather keep it smelling clean in this room. So please don't wear the same clothes every day. But you're not going to be the same type of leader in every situation that you're in. You're going to have to change based on the people that you work with. First hour is a totally different group than you guys are. So I have to change a little bit how I do things just because of that. We're doing the same things, but I change how we go about it. You have to change things sometimes on a daily basis. I mean, every day could be a different day with our group here just because of what's going on, maybe what the weather's like, maybe who had a bad breakfast, woke up on the wrong side of the bed. You have to change and adapt as a leader. And so you might have to pull a variety of these styles out. So I want to go over a couple of these today. Obviously, you see the quote up there with Derek Jeter. Good quote, talking about as a leader. They'll listen, but they might not always respect you. But you got to understand that being a leadership position, sometimes it comes with some of those things. So good quote from him because he was the captain for a reason. So he is an excerpt forward in one of the books I have up there. Very, very good excerpt that I'll probably share with you. All right, today's couple leadership styles. I want to start with team leadership. And I'm not necessarily talking about team leadership as in a sports team. I'm talking about team leadership is a way for the leader to paint the picture for the group, for the organization. They kind of set the stage. They create the setting that the followers and the people underneath them fill in. So if you were looking at the painter being the leader, they're painting with nice brush strokes the followers and all of the personalities, all the skills and talents. And when you blend those things together, when you blend those brushstrokes together, you come up with a really good masterpiece and a really cool painting. I'm not a painter, so I'm not going to attempt to paint for you to illustrate that. That would go horribly wrong. You would make fun of me. I'm a stick figures person. I don't know about any of you. I'm a stick figures person. So I stick with that. But team leader, they create the picture. They create the picture for the frame. Okay, the framework is what the organization or team is all about. So if our JAG program is about creating you to be better people, leaders, and more successful, that's the framework. And then I'm painting the picture with you in it that fills that framework. So you got to think like that. They also inspire. They're inspiring because when you have a team, you have to motivate them to do something that's beyond what they thought they could do in the first place. Okay, but the inspiration comes with a purpose. The purpose for me to talk to you guys about leadership is not to just give you information and give you stuff to read on a daily basis and five questions to answer on a quiz. The purpose is for you to grow as leaders. And so after these 2 weeks, now when we do events, when we put together the INI later on this year, when we put together, when we go to the CDC, that we have leaders created. And that's an awesome thing to have. So that's a purpose. They inspire, but they have a purpose. They also are really big on people. Without a team underneath the leader, you really don't have a team, do you? I mean, there's a sports analogy there. You can have a coach, but if you don't have the players, you don't have anything. The coach can't play. So the leader of a team in a team leadership style realizes that. And so they know, hey, I have to work with my people. I have to make them better. I have to be connected to them, whether it be on a personal basis and a work basis or maybe some combination of both, okay? Because they realize the people make the difference. Without the people underneath them, they are nothing as a leader, okay? So they are heavy on relationships. They will probably be the people that do one-on-one talks or, hey, I just want to meet with you once a week. Not to because you're in trouble, not because I don't like you, not because I need to chew you out, but because I want to make sure we have that connection. And so if you're a team leadership style type of person, I encourage you to do that. Make sure you're checking in with your people on a daily, weekly basis, one-on-one. not necessarily in a big group setting. Okay, so big with the relationships. They are also realize that failure, in this leadership style, can occur when the leader isn't very good, when the leader isn't very sound with their framework or the principles. They aren't very sound with checking in with people. When you have bad leadership, and you have bad leadership principles, this type of style goes downhill fast. If you have a team and you have a bad coach, you have a bad leader, they usually go into bad places. Think of this, leader of the ship. If you have a bad captain who doesn't really do a good job steering the ship and managing the ship, it's probably going to sink. That can happen so quickly if there's a bad leader in charge of a team, okay? So realize that. And then I would like to say it's probably better off where you see a lot of this style in a bigger setting, like a big company, but they have many leaders with many small subgroups or subdivisions. So if you look at a big company and you have the Department of Human Resources, you have the Department of Sales, you have the Department of Manufacturing and Department of Advertising, you have all these different small departments that are all part of the big umbrella organization, you have small team leaders that are a part of those groups. So you could look at it like that. So understand that, and then also realize there's sometimes limited power, because again, without the players, without the followers, you really don't have a team. So the power by this leader isn't dominant. They don't dominate everything, because the players really dictate a lot of it. You know, if the players play well, you win, and the coach and leader looks great. If the employees do a really good job, the leader looks great, but the leader can't do all the work for the employees and the followers. So the power can be a little limited. But I do want to note, it can be very, very fulfilling. Okay, when you are a leader that's a part of a group that works really hard, that is very productive, and enjoys being around each other, like there's a positive culture, a positive atmosphere around those people, you will find it very, very fulfilling. There's just something about it to go, hey, I'm gonna go work with these people today and lead these people that really like what they do. They're very hardworking, they stay on task, and we get things done. Like, that's a good thing, and you will find that very fulfilling. Another leadership style that is you see cross-cultural, and I put the picture of the world on there, but it's not necessarily saying there's one leader, you know, in Maine and one leader in California. Like, I'm not saying two separate sides of the nation or two separate sides of the world. That's not necessarily what I'm getting at. I'm talking about a leader who's able to work with a diverse group of people. They're able to work with the person who's super skilled, been working for the 25 years at this same job, and they're also able to work with the person who just started their job at the company last week. They're able to work with lots of ranges of people in terms of age, skill, maybe experience, maybe just background, diversity background. They're able to work with a lot of people. They're very flexible leader types, okay? So they work with all people. But I would say the key word being adjust here. When I say leaders adjust to many environments, adjust is a huge thing. If a leader is not able to adjust and they are super rigid, eventually they're going to be bent too far where they break as a leader and their group breaks. So you have to be ready to adjust. Leaders understand in this type of style how to collaborate. They know how to work with other people. They know how to deal with other people in their own environment. So if I'm going to go over and work with Anthony, I know it's going to be a little different than me going over to work with Mackenzie. They understand how that is different. And they accept that. They don't just try to do the same thing and make it cookie cutter for every single person, because they realize that's probably not going to be the case and not going to work out well. Okay, they realize that best ideas and practices are found when they're shared. So when we all share, we all collaborate from all our different backgrounds, they realize, hey, we can find something really good here. And they accept that. They are always looking for the new ideas. So they're always, every time, they're saying, hey, how can we improve on this? How can we improve on this here? That helps them. That helps them as a leader. Okay. And then leaders usually work with larger groups of leaders spread out. That can be physically, like I said, literally maybe two ends of the country, two ends of the world that are working together for the same purpose. Same group, same organization, just not in the exact same physical space. Or it can be maybe in departments. you know, hey, I'm the leader of, again, the human resources department. And over here, this person's the leader of the sales. While we're two different leaders doing two different things, we work for the same company organization trying to meet the same goal. So we have different things we are in charge of as leaders, but we're eventually doing something for the same thing. So that's kind of a cross-cultural idea. You see a lot of people, different backgrounds, very diverse. They can adjust. This is a leadership style here I really like. Facilitative leadership style. And it's exactly what it sounds like. Exactly what it sounds like. If you are a facilitative person, you're a facilitative leader, you are assisting. You are the person who's always wanting to help. Okay? And so you're very hands-on. You're focused on measurements and outcomes because you realize as a leader, hey, we have to meet this standard. We have to get this amount of money coming in by the end of the quarter. So those standards focus in on them helping their people. I'm going to make sure I facilitate Anthony and Josh what they're doing because I know in order us to meet that outcome, that measurement, I got to help them do their job. I got to help. Otherwise, we don't meet our standard, and some people like get let go. That's real life. Okay, so you have to have that focused mentality of I'm going to meet our standards, our goals. But it's all about assisting. I mean, that's a big word. Assisting, facilitating, helping, being a part of who the group is. So you have to be an active listener. You have to be a great active listener in order to be a facilitative leader because you have to be able to hear what other people are saying, what other people are feeling. I mean, if you hear those things, now I can best help you. I can help you do your job as best as you can be. I can help you be better because I know what skills and what things you need, what resources you need. So you've got to be an active listener. Think of it as the guiding hand. Okay, I'm guiding you. I'm not pushing you. I'm not throwing you in the direction you need to go. I'm guiding you where you need to be because, again, to meet the measurements, to meet the outcomes. But I'm not forcing you to go there. I'm just there along the way for you. And, you know, you see a dad or someone who's like helping their little kid ride a bike for the first time. Like they're not grabbing them and pushing them on the bike where they need to go. They're guiding them. They're right there along the way in case they fall to pick them back up. They're right there in case they need some reassurance to say, hey, I don't know, I'm a little scared. This is going too fast for me. Hey, no, just do this. They're guiding them. So think of that analogy as a leader. If you're a facilitative leader, you're guiding that person on the bike for the first time. All right, but they have to maintain focus and they're extremely people-oriented. You can't be a facilitative person if you hate people. And also, you can't facilitate a group of computers. You aren't going to be a facilitative leader who facilitates the computers. You know what I'm saying? You have to facilitate people. And so you have to understand people. You have to connect with people. You have to relate to people. So that's a facilitative type leader. You have to monitor the group. This person will be doing check-ins. Not to, again, I want to see how bad you're doing and chew you out, but I just want to see what's the status. I don't want to be super hands-on, but I want to make sure in case you need anything, I can be there for you. Again, think of guiding the little kid on the bike, okay? And then one thing I would suggest, if you're this type of leader, you have to ask questions. You have to. If you don't ask questions, you don't know as a leader. And so a lot of times leaders can be so high and mighty that they forget to ask the questions that need to be asked. And even if it's a question, again, I mentioned last week, you know the answer to, you still need to ask it. Because if I ask Luis what he wants to do over Blueberry and he tells me, you know, something other than Blueberry Donuts, because I assume Blueberry Donuts, I would be shocked. And now I know something new now. Okay, but I asked the question first. So you ask the questions. At the end of the day, facilitative leadership allows people to work through the process, but it'll jump in when they see a need. Okay, they're willing to say, I'm going to back off, but I'll jump in when I see you need some help. They're also acceptive of people because they realize that people need their own space. People are going to work through things in their own unique way. But I want to make sure that we meet our outcomes some way, somehow. There's not one straight process we have to use to get there. So that's a facilitative type of leader. The last one I want to mention is the worst leadership style ever known to mankind. Hopefully you have never had a boss or a leader or a coach like this. I hope and pray that you never have had that. But Laissez-faire. What do you think that word means? Laissez-faire. What do you think, Hunter?
Laid back, free.
Kicking it, easy. Lazy. Just chill. You know, the person who doesn't get too high, doesn't get too low, they're just them. And it's not a good quality to be as a leader. It's not a good leadership style. It's the worst leadership style there is. And they probably keep the name around, the style around, just to make sure everyone knows this is not how a leader should act. Okay? Pretty much in this leadership style, everything is on the followers. Everything is on the people underneath the leader. They do everything. They make their own decisions, which doesn't end up usually going well, because let's be honest, if we all made our own decisions here in this room about what we wanted to do for class next week, we'd be a mess, because everyone would make a decision on their own personal values and what would help them the best, not what would help our group the best. And so that's a bad thing in laissez-faire leadership. But the leader makes no decisions. I mean, think of that. The leader takes no ownership of the decisions of the group. They let the people make the decisions. That's how are you a leader if you let everybody else do everything? I don't know, but you're still apparently a leader under the laissez-faire leadership style. Okay, so everyone in the group makes their own decisions, and then put everything in all capital letters here, just for emphasis, because obviously if you ever got a text in all caps, you understand that means the person's really, really putting a lot of emphasis there. Okay, but everything is delegated by the leader. Everything that comes across my desk, I find a way to immediately push it off on somebody else, because I'm not doing it. I'm the leader. I don't have to do that. I'm leader. Usually this type of leader is just there to collect a paycheck or collect the title that goes along with being the leader. But everything is delegated to the followers. There's nothing really that the leader does. And often people ask, what does our leader even do? Like, I see him show up at the same time we do. I see him leave at the same time we do. But never see what he does or she does. So understand that the laissez-faire leadership style is very hands-off, about as hands-off as you can get in a leadership style, okay? Now, the one time I think it could be okay to use is this time. If you all are super smart, you guys are super skilled in what you do, I don't necessarily have to be hands-on, because you guys will cover up a lot of my deficiencies by the work that you do. And so if you're a laissez-faire leader who's able to be in a group that is super talented and super skilled, well, you might be able to get away with that, because the workers, the followers will make up the work for you. They might not like it, and I guarantee it won't last. Because eventually the followers are just going to be like, hey, we need some leadership that's going to really take on some ownership of what we're trying to do as a group and not just push everything off on us and have us make him look good or her look good. So it won't last forever for sure, but it can work in some circumstances and some instances where the group is very talented and makes up for the leader's lack of effectiveness, okay? And then the leaders just give the tools and the resources. That's what they give. That's their contribution. What do you need? When do you need it? Okay, let me get it to you so you can do your job, and I'm just gonna chill back in my office and sit there watching cat videos for the next couple hours at work, okay? Or put on Netflix at work. You know, there's bosses that do that. I haven't gone to... I'll often put on like a video that has audio just so I can listen to it while I'm doing stuff, but you can't watch. But anyways, leaders give the tools just so they can just chill back and, hey, let you guys do all the work, okay? Group members have to be intrinsically motivated in this style because, again, they are taking on full ownership of the group. The leader's doing no motivating, no inspiring. They're about as plain-faced as you get. You know, like Hunter said, they're laid back. They're just laid back chilling. You know, think of the person on the beach just saying, man, life is good. I'm not doing any work. It's all them. Okay? That's a laissez-faire leader. Not a leadership style I want you to take on. Okay? Not a style I want you to take on, because that is, it's almost unleader-like. I don't even know if I should call it a leadership style. It's the unleadership style is laissez-faire. So don't accept that laissez-faire attitude in your own life. Don't accept that laissez-faire style as a leader, or don't accept it from leaders. Don't find yourself in a position where you are following a laissez-faire leader. because that's going to end up more on you and be more reflective on you, and it's going to wear you down. So that's a style that for sure you don't want to pull from. But again, like I mentioned at the beginning, you're going to pull from a variety of these styles because that's what you do as a leader. You adapt, you formulate different styles depending on the circumstance, depending on the need that is going on that day. Okay? Any questions about those styles? Okay. I'm going to finish up by talking about a few final styles tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to be the last wrap-up day for the styles. And then Thursday, after you guys give me your presentations on your project, I'm going to wrap up kind of our series. I got one little thing I want to mention and why I'm calling it Leader of the Ship. So that'll wrap up Thursday. Again, please get your stuff in. If you need to get your stuff in, turn your documents, your forms, your signatures in. That is so crucial. It's so crucial. It's a small thing, but it's a big thing at the same time, if that makes any sense, because we got to get that stuff done. So please take 2 seconds, pull out your phone, put it in your reminders, hey, get this stuff signed, get this, get my social security number, get my I-9 doc. Take 2 seconds to put a reminder in your phone. 2 seconds, because that'll make a difference. Whether you set it for tonight, whether you set it for tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock before you walk out the door, do that. Because that's taking ownership. That's taking good leadership. Talk about extreme ownership yesterday with Jocko Willink. That's extreme ownership. That's taking control of your life, all right? Today,